You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, well, it took two games, but the series now starting to look a lot like what many of us anticipated as the Bucks just dominate the Bulls and have won their two games in Chicago by 54 combined points. Another dominant performance defensively and another career day from Grayson Allen as the Bucks are now 48 minutes away from advancing to the second round of the playoffs and likely facing the Boston Celtics. And we may know as early as tomorrow when the Celtics stay in Brooklyn to take on the Nets. A couple of updates on that series. We will get to that in a moment. You don't want to spend too much time on that. You don't want to look ahead just yet. We can't look ahead to the second round until the Bucks have a lead at halftime of Game 5. It's just bad juju to look ahead too much. So there is no Boston Celtics talk. No, hey, can Brooklyn extend this? Until it's halftime and the Bucks are leading in Game 5. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us today on Bucks Talk, as always, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Giannis was the best player on the floor. Grayson Allen, second or third best player on the floor. Drew Holiday up there as well. And I thought it was really, really telling and interesting. You always get these type of honest comments and commentary from Giannis, especially in the postseason. Remember last year, I believe it was in the finals where he had the looking ahead, focusing on the present, and looking behind you, and what all of those related to. But today, when asked about, hey, I mean, this is what we expected to see. No disrespect, although it's highly disrespectful. No disrespect to the Chicago Bulls, but this is kind of what we expected to see, these two games on Friday and today, where you're just a better team and outclass the Bulls. Does it seem like you guys just need to lose to, I don't know if it's wake up or snap back into place? And Giannis saying, look, it shouldn't come to this. We shouldn't have to lose for us to say, okay, let's snap back into focus and let's take care of business here. But and you know, when you lose, there's a couple of ways that you can respond. And we seem to respond this way. And that's what we kind of talked about after the game on Friday, after the game on Wednesday as well, disappointing results. And we were all kind of holding our breath on Chris Middleton. And we learned immediately after the game, MCL sprain, which you thought, ooh, that's not good. And we're learning that immediately. For as tight-lipped as this organization is, the fact that Bud opened up his post-game by saying MCL sprain. Thought, man, this could be bad. But what I had pointed out several times is this is a team that each time, I mean, last year, if you want to say last year only, sure, but they did it several times last year and it resulted in an NBA championship. Each time they had their back up against the wall, they responded. The slightest of those was the first round series against the Miami Heat, where it was a back and forth game in game one. Chris Middleton hits the game winner. You win it. You go on to win the series in four games. Even in game three and game four on the road, Miami took the lead halftime. Bucks stormed back and dominated. And both of those games, you could sense, once the Bucks catch them, it's over, and that's what happened in games three and four. Now, round two, I would say, in the semifinals, is where this team faced the most adversity. And yes, you could point to the Hawks in the conference finals because of the whole Giannis component, but I think part of it, too, is you did kind of feel like, well, let's just get there. I don't think Giannis is going to be able to join us if we get to the finals, but let's get there. Just so we can say we got to the finals. And there was adversity. You lose Giannis. You lose game one. And that was, again, similar to game two here, where it's just, not what we expected, but the Bucks responded. Won game two convincingly, won game three in Atlanta, then the Giannis injury occurs, they lose game four, but they come out and look exactly like they did in these two games, just a totally different team. The Nets series was the one, to me, where they really faced the most adversity, because that was the series you probably put all your eggs in the basket of, and you said, this is it. This is the de facto Eastern Conference Finals, and whoever wins this series is going to be picked to win the East, is probably going to be picked to win the championship. This is the one that means the most. And the Bucks were totally outclassed by the Brooklyn Nets in the first two games of that series so badly that I think every single one of you listening following game two was pretty certain the Bucks were getting swept. They were down by nearly 50 points at one point in game number two. It looked bad. And even game three, a tight game, they're able to grind it out. Drew Holiday with the game winner against Kyrie Irving to get the Bucks on the board. But even that game, you thought, okay, we were thoroughly dominated by the Nets in game two. Couldn't really slow down KD in game one. You win by, I think it was two in game three. Maybe it was one even, but you win in a very small margin. I'm not quite there yet, but at least it's not a sweep. And then slowly but surely, the Bucks just every time they were pushed further against the wall, they responded. And we saw that in Atlanta series, in the NBA Finals against the Phoenix Suns. Now, you don't want to get to that level in round one here, but an ugly, ugly performance in game two. You lose Chris Middleton for at least 2 weeks, and I want to get to what that could mean for the second round series. I just said we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but let's just say here's what it could mean for the second round and how that relates to last year. But, you know, to Giannis's point, you don't want it to get to this, but for whatever reason, that's what it takes. And that's why, as crazy it is to suggest, the Bucks are one of those teams that home court is great and all, but maybe they're better off not having home court advantage, because if you lose early, which the Bucks have tended to do in series under Coach Mike Budenholzer, you lose early, that home court is gone. And now you're going to have to steal it back. And the midpoint of the series is where the Bucks have been their best. 8-2 all-time under Bud in Game 3, 8-2 all-time under Bud in Game 4, and most importantly, 100% of the time, since Bud has been coaching this team in the playoffs, the team that won Game 3 in a series Bud coached in, 100% of the time, that team has won the series. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk. Going all the way up until 5, the supersized edition of the show, I want to get to Chris Middleton and the two-week timeline, what that means for a, if we can kind of peek ahead a little bit, what that means for a potential second-round series and what you could expect there, when you could expect that series to start potentially as well. And we will check in once again with Greg Matzik, who is on the scene in Chicago for game number four. But time to hear from you as well, 855-616-1620. Are the Bucks the best game 3 and 4 team we have seen the last few years in the NBA? Because for whatever reason, you lose once and this team responds and they play their best at the midpoint of the series. 855-616-1620. You can tweet at me as well, at TMJ Garcia. We will hear from you. We'll check in with Greg Matzik as well on the final hour of Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
White has the ball, poked away and taken by Allen again. Allen's got a 2-on-1 with Holiday. He takes it all the way to the racket, lays it in. Coast to coast, Grayson Allen, the steal and the score. The Bucks lead it 18-12, and those boos you're hearing
are from the Bucks bench,
that's
baby.
From the Bucks bench.
By Grayson Allen. One of the major stories of the midpoint of this series, 49 points in the last two games. It is not quite to the level of what Bryn Forbes did against the Miami Heat last year, but these 49 points combined, more than any single member of the Chicago Bulls has scored in the past two games. So this is everything you expected from Grayson Allen, and you're getting it at a time when you're wondering, where's the offense going to come from? Where's the production going to come from to replace what Chris Middleton has brought to this team? And Grayson Allen has stepped up in a major way. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and text line to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Somebody that was there and had a chance to witness Grayson Allen being the villain firsthand at the United Center is Greg Matzik. And Greg, on a scale of 1 to 10, how loud were the boos for Grayson Allen?
It depends who you're talking about. I'd say from the Bulls crowd, they were, you know, it was like game three. It started off hot and heavy and, wow, public enemy number one. And then as he keeps burying shots, it sort of turns from, like, you're booing the guy, but it's like, again? Like, he's exasperating the Bulls crowd, which I think is hilarious. The fact that you could pick up on the boos from the Bucks bench, I think, is unbelievable. And Coach Bud was asked that after the game. We were in on Coach Bud, and he's like, is that what they're doing down there? He's like, whatever, they do whatever they want. We asked Drew Holiday about it, and he said, yeah, we started doing that in practice, right around the time the Bulls came back to Milwaukee after the Caruso injury. They've been doing it for a while, but even they, the Bucks bench, are picking things up here. And why not? 11 of 14 from three in two games, and you're looking for added production from the bench, and who's going to pick up the slack from scoring perspective with Chris Middleton out, and the Bucks are getting that and more from Allen and Portis. So I've been wildly entertained by the booing shenanigans in the arena.
If you're a Bulls fan, you entered the weekend on the highest of highs at the playoffs, returning to the United Center for the first time in 5 years, and you leave Sunday afternoon thinking, oh my, what did we do? That the Bulls fans were riding high Wednesday night, that you won the game, and I'm sure a lot of Bucks fans were talking their share as well and overlooked you, but you won the game, and then you see Chris Middleton. Here's an MCL injury. He could be out for the series. Hey, we got a chance to win this. And all those Bulls fans, you know, and you have in your life were a lot more vocal. But now, leaving the game today, it's over. That's the impression you got from that crowd. It got quiet pretty quickly.
Yeah, there were some empty seats in the arena. I'd say middle first quarter. Not people leaving, but I think that was the damage done from Friday night where, you know, people had tickets to the game were like, I don't know, man, it's Sunday afternoon, going to get some yard work done. They just kind of felt disengaged. Now, I always get the pulse of the fans through ushers and, you know, people who kind of work into the bowels of the stadium. Man, there were a lot of confident people working the elevator on Friday. Bulls in six, right? We got one. Their guy's out. How the Bucks can't respond. They've looked like garbage. Our defense, DeRozan, he's an MVP. And then after Friday night, it was, well, at least we got one. And I heard a couple Bulls in seven chants from the crowd, but they were half-hearted. The Bucks have flexed here, Justin, and it's not only depth, it's not only because they have Giannis, but they can just beat you in so many ways. I mean, it's three games out of four now where the Bulls have been held under 100 points, and that's playoff basketball, but you got to get it done both ends of the floor to win a title. And the Bucks are one of few teams in the league that can actually do it on both ends.
Yeah, and the defense was most impressive in these two games, but also the shot quality and the shots that the Bucks were able to get. I thought that second quarter specifically, they hit 60% of their threes. It seemed like every look they were getting was an open look, and they were making the extra pass. But as we saw in game three, and I think it was amplified today, they doubled down and said, you do not have anyone that we trust to beat us, and we are more than fine giving up even the easiest looks in basketball to this Bulls team, that they're forcing the Bulls to take a high volume of threes, which is just something Chicago does not do. I think they average 28 three-point attempts a game in the regular season, and this is the number that really stood out to me and jumps off the page. The Bucks gave the Bulls 19 corner threes and the Bulls made five of them. I mean, on average, you get around 5 to 8 looks from the corner, and that's considered a lot because it's the easiest shot in basketball. The Bucks gave the Bulls 19 looks from the corner and said, look, we respect your shooting so little, we are going to give you the shortest three on the floor almost 20 times, and we don't care because we don't think you can make it. And they were right. The Bulls were 5 of 19 in the corner.
I'm trying to think if anybody has really showed the ability to consistently knock him down. Yeah, there was a moment in tonight's game where I thought, this could be where Zach LaVine pops off, because he's probably the most likely to blow up from three. He has those games once in a while where it's like, wow, he just knocked down 7 threes and sort of carried the team to a win. He showed signs of that in the first half, but I thought, you know, he eclipsed the 20-point mark, but I felt like he did it somewhat quietly in the second half especially. You know, Vucevic, what did he shoot during the regular season? Like 31% from three, so are you really worried about that? He can get it done a little bit, but again, then you're talking about Williams, and no, I'm not worried about him. Jones Jr., no, not worried about him. Even DeRozan from the three-point line, you're not worried about that dude. I felt like the game really, from a Bulls perspective, I think things went downhill quickly after Alex Caruso left. They were sort of hanging on. They had a nice little surge, and it was 68-60, and you thought, okay, well, this is getting a little bit too close. And then the Bucks just stepped on the gas and, you know, collecting offensive rebounds, a three. It was 7 straight points. And all of a sudden, the game felt like it was over. But with Caruso out, that forced the ball into the hands of DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, I think more so than they would prefer bringing the ball up. Plus all the dirty work Caruso does on defense. And if he cannot play in game 5, I mean, don't even make the trip. But losing Caruso, that's not something the Bulls are prepared to handle.
Yeah, being evaluated for a concussion was the latest on Alex Caruso. So you get 2 days off. It'll be interesting to see what his status was. But if you're the Bulls, to your point, Alex Caruso, I think, is their best transition player because he pushes the tempo and he's able to get others involved. And that's where the wheels kind of fell off for the Bulls, that you look around and you say, okay, the Bucks have taken away the paint. Huh. They're making us shoot a lot of threes. Huh. Well, what if we get in transition? Then Caruso goes down, and you know, the Bulls' scoring rate in transition today was not good. They were, per 100 possessions, at 125, which is basically one out of every two times you're scoring in transition, and the Bucks were getting everything they wanted. So slowly but surely, they just took literally everything away from the Bulls in this game. And, you know, now I think the biggest thing was kind of what we saw on Friday. When you got to those final 2 or 3 minutes, it was just kind of, all right, let's get Giannis and Drew and the rest of these guys out there, because we started to see some tempers flare. And I know Zach LaVine said, hey, it was nothing, it was just me catching up with an old friend. But that was the last thing you wanted to see, the final few minutes of the game, the double T on LaVine and Bobby Portis.
Yeah, surprise, surprise that Bobby's involved in the middle of that little scrum. What did you think of the Bulls' inability to cover Bobby Portis? Like, there was a, I don't know, 3-4 minute stretch where they tried DeMar DeRozan. Bobby had back-to-back buckets on DeRozan. Then I think they went to either Williams or Jones Jr., and I forget which one. That didn't work. Then they went to Vucevic. And it was just like he was abusing whoever was in front of him, or behind him, I should say, and doing it out of the post in kind of an ISO fashion. It's been interesting to watch Bobby come back with the goggles on. All right, how's he going to adjust? This is kind of new territory. But, I mean, dude has been lights out adjusting to playing with goggles, and the Bulls didn't have an answer for him at times, ISO in the post. So, again, it brings about the flexibility that the Bucks have with how they're going to get things done on offense. They played through Bobby for a nice stretch as the Bulls had zero answers for him defensively.
Yeah, and it almost seemed as though the Bucks were kind of daring the Bulls to double-team Bobby Portis in that first quarter, because you know, I kind of think Vooch is probably their best option just because it means Bobby Portis is going to put the ball on the floor a lot more. And, you know, he's talked about he likes playing the floor because most of the time he's going to have a size mismatch, kind of similar to what we see with Chris Middleton. So you do DeMar DeRozan, he's got the height advantage there and the size advantage there. And, you know, the other names you mentioned, I think we saw this too. You put Patrick Williams or Derrick Jones Jr., whoever it is, on him, that's
one less guy to throw at Giannis. And so the Bulls just, the Bulls' biggest problem in this series is it feels like they have maybe three guys that are playoff rotational players. And, you know, the Bucks have the experience and they saw how to build that roster last year. And this is just like the big brother outclassing the little brother.
No, I think you're spot on with that. And then you lose your most versatile defender in Caruso, and it's a problem. I don't want to suggest that the Bucks are better without Chris Middleton. They're not. But do you feel like there's a little less ISO ball being played on offense without Middleton, and maybe some of that freedom and movement is leading to some more open looks?
Well, I think we've certainly seen that in the last two games, but I also think that was kind of a I don't want to say scolding, but I think it was kind of the message of, are we done playing around here? Like, this team has come out and look a lot different. And I think if Chris Middleton is on the floor, it's the same way, that there's more movement. And they're just, the defense is starting everything for this team. And that has, in turn, led to some open looks. But you know, I do think, on the other end of that, as much as we know Bud trusts and loves George Hill, and he's certainly been valuable to this team in his 2 years here, I do think this opening the door for Javon Carter has been big, because we've all been clamoring for more Javon Carter minutes in the regular season. And a few of us said, look, as great as he is, I don't think you can anticipate a lot of minutes for Javon Carter in the postseason. When injuries happen, you got to take advantage. And Javon Carter is doing that, where, again, you look at the stat sheet and he had 3 points today, but he moves the ball. He's a penetrating kick guy, and he puts pressure on the defense to get in there and probe and find open shooters. And the way he picks you up full length of the court, I mean, Zach LaVine scored 24. Javon Carter was on him most of the game, and he made him work for it. So that's a guy, to me, where he's making the most of this opportunity. And now when they get healthy, you know, let's say George Hill is ready to go in a couple of days. It sounded like that was 50-50 at best for Game 5, but if you get to the point where you're still playing and you got George Hill available, that's where it gets interesting, because it's going to be tough to take Javon Carter off the floor based off what he's doing here.
No, I'm with you there. And I'm not trying to be too far ahead of myself here, Justin. I know you talked about the caution of looking ahead to the Boston Celtics, but you start to think about matchups, and that's what the playoffs are really all about. There's been times where Zach LaVine has seen Javon Carter behind him, and it's been tough for Carter because he doesn't really have the length, for as much as he can kind of get under your skin, and I think he's strong. He doesn't have the length, and guys can elevate over him. But, you know, you look ahead to different teams, and you might find the perfect matchup for him in spot minutes, like a Peyton Pritchard or something like that. And I think ultimately what he's doing is, I think you feel good about his presence on the floor, where you don't always feel like Drew has to do the heavy lifting or the picking a guy up 75 feet away from the hoop. I think Carter's more than happy to do that. And, I mean, what do you really want from the guy on offense? I mean, he's going to get two or three open shots a game, maybe. Make one or two of them. Like, he's not a finish at the rack kind of guy. He's a, you know, 15 to 3-point land kind of shooter. We saw him have to force one up late in the game tonight, and it didn't look pretty. But he's been effective. And everybody wanted Goran Dragic. And if you want to call him a consolation prize, go ahead. But he's filling a role on defense that Dragic would not. Although I think we all understand that Dragic is a more gifted offensive player.
Yeah, Javon Carter paying some big dividends for this team. And it looks unbelievable how much of a different team they look like in games 3 and 4 versus 1 and 2. And that's kind of been the story for this team the last two runs in the postseason. Greg, we will talk again on Wednesday. I feel like I know what to expect from this team, although you're never too sure, but the last time we spoke in Fiserv Forum, I mean, that feels like 2 years ago based off how this team played over the weekend.
Isn't it crazy? And I think we did talk about it too. Momentum is fleeting in the NBA. You never, I think in all the sports that I've covered and you've covered, Justin, momentum shifts in the NBA playoffs. It's like no other. You get these series that look one way one day and feel very different the next.
All right, Greg, we will talk to you Wednesday.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and text line to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk. Got a few calls trickling in. We'll also check in with a member of the Bucks Radio Network. We will do that after this.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
That lead has been cut down to 9 again. Allen trying to answer. 3-ball. He puts it right down the hatchet. He's got 4 3-pointers as Grayson Allen has connected on all 4 of his shots from downtown today.
Grayson Allen, a career game in the playoffs. 6 made 3-pointers and 27 points. 1 game after, 5 threes and 22 points. In a big weekend for the Bucks in Chicago, 54 is the margin of victory in these 2 games to take a commanding 3-1 series. Going to check in with our pal Ben Brust in just a second here. But before we do that, let's head to the phone lines and talk with Regina in Chicago. You are up on Bucks Talk.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Regina.
Hi. Just wanted to call. I'm from the south side of Chicago. I pass up the United Center all the time to come to Five Serve. The first time I went to a playoff game or a basketball game in the last 15 years was up in Milwaukee, and I fell in love. The crowd, the Five Serve Forum, of course, the team. I'm forever a Bucks fan. And I love the fact that Bobby Portis is showing Chicago they made a mistake when they let him go. And if you have GA in your name and you're wearing a Bucks jersey, man, you're the GOAT. Yeah. That's it. Giannis, I love him. Allen, I'm just now figuring out that, man. So I'm just like, go Bucks, win on Wednesday. They won today on the 24th by 24 points on my 54th birthday. I love it.
All right, thanks for the call, Regina. Grayson Allen and Giannis, the 2 GAs, getting it done for the Bucks today. Somebody else getting it done. And on his way back from the United Center, joining us now, you can hear this man's work on the BMO Bucks radio network, where I've been told he is number 2 in the fan favorite rankings. And you can hear him Monday through Friday on Scalzo and Brust, our good pal Ben Brust joining us now. Ben, the reaction in the United Center went from somewhat hype, though not as much as it was on Friday night, to what?
Silence, pin drop, amazing. Just everything I imagined as I was driving into town on Friday. And this is like, I think I've just smiled the entire drive north of I-94, thinking about everything that transpired, the adjustments that the Bucks made, you know, that I was maybe hoping that they would have made in game 2. But ultimately, when I think why they didn't make adjustments is because, you know, you trust your guys, you know, you have different roles laid out for different players. And, you know, sometimes you got to learn the hard way. And it was a wake-up call. I think we've all noticed a rejuvenated team and a team with a sense of urgency that it didn't matter if this game was played, you know, on a cruise ship. They were going to beat the crap out of the Bulls because this team is world champions. And I was waiting for that chest to get puffed out. And they puffed out the chest. They played team defense, and I heard you talk about how a lot of what this team has done offensively has started on the defensive end. And just, you know, the idea that the Bulls shot over 30 threes and shot 25%, you know what long shot means. Long rebounds and opportunities for the Bucks to get out in transition. And even if it's not a fast break point, it's mismatches because, you know, on a missed bucket from the Bulls, you're not going to be able to just pick up the guy that you are game planning for all week long. It's like, all right, you take this guy, you take this guy. And that creates opportunities for the Bucks on the offensive end. You know, again, it just all smiles driving north on I-94 for me.
Well, to me, the thing that summed up this game best was, you know, as we talked about after game 3 and before game 4 today, of the Bucks don't care
if the Bulls get clean looks, they're giving them those looks from three because they don't trust their shooters. They gave the Bulls 19 looks from the corner today, which is insane. 19 corner threes, the Bulls made five, and I think all five of those came from Ayo and Patrick Williams that nobody else could be depended on for Chicago. That if you have a team saying, look, the easiest shot in basketball, or at least jump shot, we don't care how many times you take it, it's over.
Yeah, I think there was an early stretch in the second half in which Ayo hit two. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah, that was when they got it to, I think, 11.
11, yeah. They went an 11-0 run. And I was like, all right, coming out of timeout, I was like, don't change a thing. You know what I mean? They have to prove it to me over the course of 48 minutes that they're able to consistently make that three. I was actually kind of happy. I was like, all right, they actually have some players who can make a corner three. And especially because it was Ayo Dosunmu who has the least amount of confidence of any Bull shooting the three outside of Patrick Williams before he knocked a couple down today. So I was like, don't change anything. Continue to, attack on offense. And, it forced Zach LaVine to have 13 assists and DeRozan had to get rid of it. And I think when you think about what they were able to do is they were able to make DeMar DeRozan a volume scorer. And I remember, I think you and I were talking about how the Bulls would win one game. I go, it has to be a hero ball game. DeRozan will have to have a career type night. And he absolutely did that, with 41 points in game two. And also the Bulls did what they did best and making sure that, they were able to knock down 12 of 25 threes, which is something that they are not a high-volume three-point shooting team. They are a low-volume three-point shooting team who happen to start, regressing to their mean.
When I look at what Grayson Allen has done...
And I'm sorry if my audio went weird there. Anytime you see... am I allowed to drive not hands-free anymore? I don't even know how this works.
You're not driving hands-free?
I don't know. If I put it on Bluetooth, it sounds bad on the radio, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I think, good luck, I guess. I don't know. I think it depends. I don't know if you're allowed to
pull over. I'm good to go. Yeah.
Well, if you get pulled over, I think we would pay for, not me personally, but the radio station would pay for the ticket. So
yeah, right.
That's what I've been led to believe. Grayson Allen, when you look at what he's did these two games, and I think it's easy to make the comparison, especially at the time they got him, to Bryn Forbes and what he brought to the team last year. But, if you've watched Grayson Allen, and if you watched him this year especially, he's not Bryn Forbes. I mean, it's a guy that can do more than just shoot. And as you pointed out today, too, he's a better defender than he gets credit for. But what he's done in these two games, we keep talking about who needs to step up with Chris, and it's a combination of guys. But if this team can get healthy in the playoffs, and I'm not saying 27 or 22, but if he can be a consistent shooter, it gives the team a dimension they didn't have last year. Because we've talked about 32% as a team from three. Their best shooter in the playoffs was Pat Connaughton. And even then, it wasn't a high volume. So if Grayson Allen can do this, that's something they haven't had before.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's also encouraging, as you mentioned, is his ability to finish around the rim. He's able to slither his way through the lane and Euro step. He's got a really unique finishing ability because he's super athletic. When I say super athletic, I really do mean that. He's made some moves that in traffic, the shot blockers aren't able to get to him because of his quickness driving down the lane. He's beating the help side shot blocker to the rim, and he's able to finish up and under or with his left or right hand. We've seen him out in transition. Even in game three, I remember he got out in transition, and Caruso was on the trail, and it was nope, doesn't matter. Grayson's able to use his athleticism to beat people to the rim. And sometimes it's not about what hand you use when you're at the rim. It's about how quick can you get it up, especially in the NBA. And the Bulls, to the contrary, have had such a hard time getting quickly to the rim where you see Zach LaVine up and under, getting it swatted by Giannis or blocked out by Brooke. This has been just a great series of adjustments from this Bucks team, from the offensive and defensive end. But, you can't walk away but not be impressed with what Grayson Allen's been able to do, both offensively and defensively for this team. Three steals in the fourth quarter, and he's just been disruptive. You know, I mentioned it in their loss in game two. He made a really, really athletic defensive play where he was the help side defender, and he tagged, which would be just sort of bumping the roller, which of the five-man, and he had to close out onto Caruso, and he blocked Caruso's shot on a closeout. So that length, that athleticism defensively, knocking down shots, I mean, it's effortless. You know, he's got one of those threes right now where Grayson's in the groove where it's if it goes up, you can just almost assume it's going in, and if it doesn't, it's right on target. I think of him coming off of a stagger today, and it just missed long, but it was in great rhythm. And let's give some pats on the back to us, man. I mean, I feel like we deserve it. Pat, Grayson, Bobby, those were the three guys, and it's obvious with Chris Middleton going out, but it was those three guys that we had a feeling were due to regress to their mean. And Pat again today didn't have one of his high scoring games, but he was efficient. And he made some good plays. He 6 rebounds. That's the Pat Connaughton we know. A block shot and a hustle trying to keep it in. Just around the ball. It sat poorly with me the way Caruso was able to get an offensive rebound over Pat in game two, which led to DeRozan's game sealer, putting the Bulls up 5 in game two. So, again, all smiles here. And I do want to comment because I did hear Greg Matzik talk about what Bobby Portis was able to do. You know, the biggest thing is it's not that the Bulls are trying to match up DeRozan with Bobby. It is, A, the Bucks are getting good stops on the Bulls, and they're forcing long threes, so they're not getting the matchups they want initially. But also, this big lineup that the Bucks have put out there with Lopez, Giannis, Bobby, Drew, and Wes, when you think about what the matchups are for the Bulls, you have Patrick Williams on Giannis. You have Brook Lopez guarding by Vucevic. So naturally, DeRozan or LaVine are going to have to guard a guy like Bobby Portis. And Bobby said, all right, you know, DeRozan's a tough guy. Bobby just is bigger and stronger, was able to get to his spot and got to a jump, a right-hand jump hook. And then he faced him up and said, all right, let's see if I can create space with my jump shot, because once Bobby gets a good feel, he's a rhythm guy. He got that jump hook to go down, next possession, boom, jab step, shoot over him. So, again, the Bucks lineup, because Chris Middleton has been out, has created these mismatch opportunities for guys like Bobby. And then one last shot. I know I'm talking a lot, but there's just so much running through my head. Giannis has been unbelievable. I mean, he's been unbelievable when he's seen a double team. His feel, his pace, his reads, whether it be an assist or, again, I saw 3 or 4 hockey assists again where he kicked it out on the right read, extra pass to a 3-point shooter, and it all started by Giannis not forcing things, but also knowing that when there was a small lineup in there, be aggressive and go throw it down their throat. So, man, very impressed with what this team has been able to do without Chris Middleton, but they will definitely need Chris. I heard you earlier, so I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to look too far ahead.
I know you like talking, so just one more thing. Does it exist? Adjustment the Bulls make here going forward? Because when I look up and down the roster, I mean, you could say, well, they got to play bigger. Who?
Good luck.
Right.
No, there's nothing, Justin. I think you and I both know that.
Yeah, it looked like Billy Donovan finally figured out 3 or 4 years later than the rest of us. Yeah, Tristan Thompson ain't it. It was 5 minutes today.
No, Tristan Thompson's not it. And, like, look, at the end of the day, say you try and go one-on-one with Giannis or even I'm honest, I don't know. I really don't know, because the Bucks have shown so much versatility from guys other than Giannis. I mean, Drew played a really good offensive game. He missed a couple of looks that I thought he'd hit, but he had that step back rhythm going. Like these past two games really got Drew going offensively. Bobby was great. I mean, think about what Brook did. Brook scored 2 points today, and he's been dominating the Bulls. The Bucks just have too much, and like, that's just the sad answer and the sad truth for the Chicago Bulls fans.
Prediction on when we will tip on Wednesday?
Late.
Real. So the other two games scheduled to be played that day are the Nets and Celtics and this game that's going on now between the Nuggets and the Warriors. So if the Celtics win tomorrow, well, then we'd be the only one. So I think it would be 7:30.
Okay. I didn't know if they put us in the 8:30, you know, with Eastern time wanting to get, you know, that's sort of the prime time nowadays. 8:30 somehow became prime time, for Eastern, but, which would be, I guess, 7:30 Central.
Well, regardless, whatever time it is, I will.
I don't care. I don't care when it is. I'm ready to go. I want to see the Bulls Bucks game five, and I want to see more Bobby Portis in glasses. And I want to see more scuffles, and I want to see it all. I want to see this team continue to build their 2022 swagger as they build off their world championship.
Whatever time it is, I will see you on Wednesday. And I tell you what, the Chick-fil-A is on me.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. For those who don't know, it's free every time.
All right, Ben, we'll see you later.
Later.
855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Your thoughts on this victory? I mean, if you are, for some reason, a Bulls fan, what are your adjustments that your team can make going forward, or is it a foregone conclusion? A couple of calls to get to. Also, I tweeted out some of the comments that Grayson Allen made, but if you missed it, I think this is worth replaying. Grayson Allen was specifically asked about the Alex Caruso interaction and what Alex Caruso had to say on JJ Redick's podcast, and seemed to have given a different answer from what we heard by Alex Caruso. So we'll play you those comments and get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Go back to Giannis. He gets to Holiday. Now to the corner. Three-pointer on the way. Portis drills it from the deep corner left. Another Coors Light three in the Bucks. Strike first here. Their largest lead of the game now at 19.
Bobby Bifocals against the first team he played for in the league with another playoff double-double as the Bucks dominate the Bulls in Chicago with this 119-95 victory. Let's head back out to the phone lines, talk with Ricky in Honey Creek. You are up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, man. I really liked how the Bucks started into this game. I liked how Giannis really carried this team through the last two games. And Grayson Allen's really stepping up and taking Chris Middleton's spot. There's one area I think that the Bucks can improve on is turnovers. They had, like, at least, like, what, 15 turnovers in this game. So I think that could be a definite improvement. I mean, not in a bad way, but tone that down a bit. And then, I mean, keep doing what they're doing offensively, and I think this will be an NBA Finals team.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks for the call, Ricky. As 15 turnovers, yes. Little more than you'd like to see, but it didn't become a problem when you look at the points off at turnovers. 15 for the Bulls off those 15 turnovers, and the Bucks 12 off of 12 Bulls turnovers. So you did a really good job cleaning it up in Game 3, and I think if you want to nitpick, that's what you would point to here in this performance today. Mike in Shorewood, you're up next on the show. How's it going, Mike?
How you doing? The only word to say it is just impressive. After that loss there with Middleton going out, it felt like a lot of momentum Bulls had. You even had some pundits and experts thinking this could be a 6 or 7 game series, or even some calling for an upset, trying to figure out where the Bucks would find some offense. But they don't take into account the Bucks are a balanced team, and Middleton is huge. And obviously, we're probably going to need him back at some point to win the title. But in terms of, I thought these two games in Chicago would be competitive, and boy, was I glad I was wrong. I mean, they just stomped on them from the tip. And really, the Bulls fans who finally got to see their team back in the playoffs after a while really couldn't get into it because it was such a one-sided shellacking. So tip of the cap to this Bucks team, just top to bottom. Obviously starting with Giannis doing what he does, but the breakout time for Grayson Allen. He's been big time stepping into that Middleton role. And then you got the Holiday. Bobby Portis was huge. Just both sides of the ball defensively, they really just suffocated the Bulls and, you know, gave them two of the worst playoff losses in their team history. So, I mean, this was just unforeseen. I thought both of these games would be competitive. Maybe the Bulls could get the split here. But I was way off on my prediction on that, and I'm glad I was. And this Bucks team showing once again that championship mentality, knowing that even you're down one of your guys, you can go into the opposing hostile place like United Center in a rocking place, and you could just silence them from the tips. So just wire to wire, just two beatdowns. I'm expecting they end this series, and they're not going to take their foot off the gas and allow what happened game two. I think they know they can't allow that here without Middleton. You need as much rest time you get, hopefully get him back for the next series. But just tip of the cap, just wire to wire, just impressive. And the Bulls really didn't know what hit them. They've never been dominated. Obviously, in the regular season, Bucks dominated, but nothing like this without Middleton. So just tip of the cap, and looking forward to them finishing this off on Wednesday night, and appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And you bring up something interesting there, too, with the rest for Chris Middleton. There's a couple of things worth pointing out on that, but the other thing I want to mention is Mike pointed to Bulls fans haven't had a lot to look forward to with the playoffs. This is their first taste of the playoffs in 5 years. And as Nate Duncan pointed out, here's what the Bulls have done in recent years here, basically the last decade, the last six series that the Bulls have been in the playoffs, lose the two games in the fashion they did by 54 points to the Bucks this weekend. They lost all three games in 2017 to the Boston Celtics. They went 1-2 against the Cavs in 2015. They beat the Bucks two of the three home games they had in 2015, I beg your pardon. And then 0-3 in 2014 against the Wizards, 0-2 against the Heat in 2013. 3-13 at home in the playoffs since 2013 for the Chicago Bulls. That is what they have had to look forward to for the last 5 years here. Mentioned the Grayson Allen comments. I do want to get to those. We have the audio specifically of what he had to say about his interaction with Alex Caruso. We'll bring you that. And the Chris Middleton thing. The timetable for Chris Middleton and what it could mean in any series moving forward. We'll get to that and more of your thoughts. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Taps at 9 near where it ultimately lands in the hands of Giannis, who sinks his talons in. Now spinning the other way. Spins past everyone. Oh, he was a tornado of determination to the rim as he lays it in. And the Bucks lead it 65-43. How many guys at 7 feet tall can do that?
Yeah, oh, by the way, Giannis was pretty good again as well. And now he had another 30-point, 15-rebound performance in the playoffs, the fifth of his career. He trails only LeBron James, who has done that six times. So we mentioned this was the year where more than ever before you would point to, well, Giannis did this. The only other player to do that is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Fifth career, 30-15-5. 30 or more points, 15 or more rebounds, 5 or more assists in a game, as he had 32-17-7 today. LeBron James is the only player in NBA history that has done that more times with six. So, look, a chance Giannis could move past LeBron James in this postseason run. Before we go back to the phones, I do want to play this. Grayson Allen tweeted out some of the comments he made afterwards. Bulls fans still very salty over that flagrant foul on Alex Caruso, and I know it cost Alex Caruso 6 weeks. But Alex Caruso went on J.J. Redick's podcast and said there was no communication between he and Grayson Allen. So Grayson Allen was asked about that following the game today. And what Grayson Allen had to say somewhat contradicts that.
Hey, Grayson, one of the reasons that you get that reaction in Chicago is because of that play with Caruso. Have you ever got a chance to talk to him about that or any of the Bulls about your feelings on that?
No. So I understand there was a I saw on JJ's podcast, he said I didn't reach out, which I did try. I tried two different ways. And then when I saw that, I got another number from somebody and tried to reach out again. But so at that point, like, it's not about me expecting a reply. It's just about me wanting to let him know. It's more of a something between me and him. So I don't expect a reply. I don't think he would even want to, but
message out his phone or something.
Tried. Yeah.
All right. So basically he said, and look, Alex Caruso just said, I didn't hear from him. And as Grayson Allen said, tried two different ways, got a different phone number, left a message. I don't need him to accept an apology or to know that it's between us. And I think it's 4 months, 3 months later, that's where it gets left at. But Grayson Allen says, look, the narrative that I did not reach out to him, and Grayson Allen's a jerk because he broke his wrist or had the ligament damage and didn't even reach out. False, according to Grayson Allen. 855-616-1620, AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. John is in Kenosha. How's it going, John?
Hey, it's going well. Man, there's so much to talk about. I'll try to be brief. The Grayson Allen thing, as long as you just mentioned it, I mean, first of all, I Bulls fans are being babies about it. I don't even think the flagrant foul was that bad. I think I've seen probably two dozen this year that were worse than that. But whatever, I digress. I think it's hilarious that Middleton goes down and Bulls fans are all happy, and then the guy that they absolutely hate is just burning them in their building. It just tickles me a little bit. And then the other thing I'll mention is, you know, you kind of poo-pooed the turnover thing, and I get it. You know, they got back on defense. We're doing to the Bulls what we've done all year long, and we haven't done this to the Celtics. And I think The Celtics are probably the best team in the East now that Embiid's injured, and I just, you know, I think we're going to have a different animal, probably 6 or 7 game series when we get to Boston. So
yeah, that's definitely.
That's my piece.
Thanks for the call, John. And not like – I'm not saying 15 turnovers is good. They did a good job of minimizing the damage, but yeah, you can't have some of these types of turnovers against the Boston Celtics. They did a really good job on Friday, but 15 today, you can't do that against Boston with how versatile they are defensively. The active hands, Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year, you're not going to get away with that as much, especially the transition offense that Celtics have. So that's one of the things you're going to need to clean up, assuming both the Celtics and the Bucks advance to the second round. We'll wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Holly's got to launch up a long three, and he hits it anyway. That one from about 30 feet away.
Over Patrick Williams, and that should just about do it.
That was his 100th career.
That was Ben's reaction when he heard he was going to be a guest on Bucks Talk. It was the emphatic woo. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us here. Just a couple of minutes left on the program. Some breaking news in another Eastern Conference series I want to get to in a second. But let's grab one more call here. Randy in Sheboygan. Got about 30 seconds, Randy. What's up?
Yeah, I just want to relay a comment that I heard on the NBA channel after the game about Giannis, that whenever he's interviewed, it's always about teammates, yep. Never about himself. And because of that, players have decided to come to play for Milwaukee like Bobby and have less earnings than they might with some other team. And that is so unusual in this day of professional sports, and especially the NBA.
Yeah, totally agree. Thanks for the call, Randy. And Giannis again today. Look, it shouldn't have to come to losing a game to regroup, but for whatever reason, we do best when that happens. Going forward, we want to make sure that's not the case, that we're playing our best without a loss and not having to deal with some adversity. I think, look, if the Bucks take care of business on Wednesday, if the Celtics win tomorrow, that's your second-round matchup, and I think that series is going to start on Saturday. Saturday and Sunday are reserved for Game 7s. We might not have a lot, so they'd bump up the series. Similar to what happened last year when the Bucks 1-4, Nets 1-5, that series started while first-round series were still going on, so you got some additional time off between, I think, Game 2 and 3 and then 3 and 4. If that happens, it may bode well for Chris Middleton moving forward. The breaking news, Kyle Lowry, that series may go longer. He has been ruled out of Game 4 with a hamstring issue, so the Hawks with a chance to tie that series at 2 games apiece. My thanks to Evan and DJ for producing the show, to Greg, to Ben for chiming in with us, all of you that called in and interacted on Twitter as well. Talk to you again Wednesday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.